Good morning. Welcome to Sunday's message. Sorry you're not here today, but pretty sure you're staying warm and drinking some cocoa or coffee or what have you. If you have your Bibles, open up to John 15. We're going to start in verse 9 through 17. It says this, I have loved you even as the Father hath loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for. Using my name, this is my command. Love each other. Friends, we all have them. Well, I hope we all have at least one friend you can be real with and them not turn on you for being you. Friends, they will come in all shapes and sizes. Some people have short friends, tall friends, funny friends, like me, serious friends, loud friends, quiet friends, like me, cute friends, the designated ugly friend, and friends of different nationalities. Now, if you don't have friends of a different nationality, I would encourage you, find some friends. You can learn a lot about everyone else's culture the right way, rather than just reading a book, you're experiencing it yourself. But here's the thing when it comes to friends. The best type of friend is a godly friend. Someone who fears the Lord just as much as you do. Those are the best friendships that you could be a part of because those friends will help you to become a better version of yourself. They will help to fulfill what God has created for you to do. Those are the friends that you want to roll with. John 15, 14, it says this, you are my friends if you do what I command. And that commandment is to love one another. Now, we don't want to take that scripture out of context and go bossing people around, and if you want to be my friend, you have to do what I tell you to do. Don't do as I do, just do as I say do. And even though as childish as that may sound, some people still act that way. I mean, some people, that's kind of how they got their husband or wife. You're going to have to do what I do. If you want to be with me, you're going to have to do what I do. You're going to have to do what I say do. You're not my friend if you don't do what I say. That's not a friend. That's a slave. That's someone who can be pushed around, manipulated, and even disrespected. That's not a true relationship. True friends have each other's backs. And the way that Jesus talks about his friendship with us, he lays his life down for us. He lays it down. He is the sacrificial lamb. He shares his intimate details with us because he is close to us. You realize that? He's close to us. He chooses to confide in us. He has chosen us. The friendship that Jesus demonstrates is through love. And that love always has to be that driving force in what we do. In Proverbs 17, verse 9. It says this, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Dwelling on it separates close friends. I like the Passion Translation. It says it this way, love overlooks the mistakes of others, but dwelling on the failures of others devastates friendships. But what have you been dwelling on? What's something that you've been dwelling on that your friend or family member may have done? See, if you want to keep a friendship, a relationship, or family together, one thing you're going to have to learn to do is forgive quickly. That is so important for you to forgive quickly. If you keep rehearsing what they have done to you, to yourself, or even to others, you're basically setting that friendship or relationship or even that family on fire. Love overlooks their faults, but hatreds will stir it up over and over again. It's like they're just stuck. Remember, if we're stuck, if we're to that place where we're stuck, you're going to have to get up and spin. You're going to have to get up and move and do something, because if you're stuck, you're stuck. And you're never going to get out of it unless you praise. So which one have you been rocking with lately? Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. Love flourishes. Love excels. Love succeeds. Love becomes strong when a fault is forgiven. But dwelling on it means you have that thing on repeat. On repeat. It's like an old VCR. We used to have VCRs back in the day, and you have these buttons, and some VCRs were different, but the old school ones were the ones with the buttons that stick out a little bit, and they may have fallen off, and you got to put your finger in there and to keep the button, the metal part, to play and everything else. So, but imagine if the only thing on the VCR worked was that rewind and play. That's what you're doing. You're just rewinding it, and you're playing it all over again. Or even in today's time. I mean, you got a song, and it's just one song, and you got it on repeat one. And it's the same thing over and over again. You hear a good part, you rewind it. Slide your finger and just rewind it over there. Or maybe you might even have a friend that is constantly talking about the same thing over and over again. Same news, same channel, different day. When you do that, you begin to separate your friends. They don't want to hang out with you. And even if it isn't about you, it could be about someone else that begins to wear you down because it's just constant. The ones that take it to another level are the ones that will have several different people say the exact same thing to just wear you down and be a nuisance to you. Do you smell that? Do you smell that? No, I don't smell it, but I do hear it. Do you hear that? I hear those flapping wings from those flying monkeys. Yeah, you lose friends when you dwell on it. Forgive quickly. Love unconditionally. Love should be your driving force in all your friendships and relationships. God's kind of love. If you continue to do what's right, it's a great saying right here. If you continue to do what is right, then what is wrong and who is wrong will eventually leave your life. What is wrong and who is wrong will eventually leave your life when you do what is right. They won't hang around with you while you're maturing and growing in your faith. Friends, when you have them, they should be able to speak their minds. You should be able to speak your mind. In John 11, 20-23, it says, when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Now, Jesus loved Mary. He loved Martha and Lazarus. This wasn't a disrespectful thing that Martha said to Jesus. If only you had been here, my brother would not have died. That was a true statement, and it was an honest statement. It was a sincere statement. She spoke her mind, but yet it was a truthful statement. Jesus didn't get offended by this because he already knew what he was going to do. Now, we know that Jesus did raise Lazarus from the dead, and even in chapter 12, the next chapter, he went and ate with them. But their friendship was on another level. Jesus called Lazarus his friend. He says, our friend Lazarus has died. See, true friends can speak their minds without facing backlash or revenge from the other person. Now, think back the last time when somebody may have spoken it to you. How did you respond? Did you begin to plot against them? Did you begin to get angry towards them? Did you begin to smear their name? You realize that you can commit murder by just through character assassination? Better yet, when anyone speaks their mind to you, what's your response? See, Paul opposed Peter to his face. But notice how Peter did not go around and was blowing everything up about what Paul said to him. Peter wasn't going around playing the victim. Peter wasn't going around trying to get people to come against Paul in every which way. Why? Because there is a kingdom agenda that we're after. Friends should be able to speak their mind without a negative response from their so-called friend. If you don't have friends or family members that can handle the truth, then clearly they are not mature enough to handle or deal in real relationships. It's just something that you're just going to have to roll with for a while, or better yet, keep them out of season. Get you some friends that will want to grow the right way, not the petty way. There's a big difference. Here's another saying. There's a big difference between two people who are both Christians and friends and two people who have honestly created a Christian friendship. Paul had those. Jesus had those. David had those. See, in Proverbs 13:20, the New Living Translation says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. You should know very quick when you hang out with certain people, are they always trying to stir up trouble with other people and with you? Are they always trying to do certain things in order to get people to come after you? I said, those are the ones that are always scheming and plotting just to come against other people. Those are the ones that you probably shouldn't keep. That's company you probably should not keep. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. These are just some guidelines here. If you want to get the best out of a person, you must always look for the best in a person. That's both ways. In Proverbs 18:24 says this, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. True friends are the ones that were helping you and holding it down with you when you didn't have anything to hold down, when you didn't have a dollar to fold, when you just had a few change in your pocket, when you just looking in the couch cushions just to find yourself something to eat. They were there with you. They were there when you were broke, busted, and disgusted, and they weren't needing it. They threw their 15 cents in with your 25 cents. Man, we can go get some 10 cent tacos. I mean, they were real with you. They kept it real with you. Now, you might have a few dollars with you now, and they are still holding it down with you. They're not there. They're there to help you. They're not there to tear you down. They are loyal to you, not because they are doing everything you told them to do, but they respect who you are and they saw the best in you. Those are the great friends. I know it's not a fairy tale thing because you're always going to have conflict and arguments and disagreements and things of that nature. I get it. But there are some that will take it to an extreme. We want those that can keep it balanced. God had knitted your souls together a long time ago, and no matter what you do, you just can't be separated from each other. There is only one difference between your friends and your enemies. Your friends will focus on the things that they like about you. But your enemies, they will shine a spotlight on everything they hate about you. On everything they dislike about you, they will shine that spotlight and let everybody know. So know the difference between having a friend and having an enemy. Ephesians 6:12 says this. We know this scripture. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against rulers and authorities and of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. These evils are ranked. I mean, they just come in all shapes and sizes too, just along with your friends. It could be family or friends, but clearly if they are difficult to be around, then there is clearly something wrong with them. So don't panic. Don't get anxious. Don't get fearful about it. You have authority over all those evils that are mentioned. But you don't have to stay around them just because they say they are family. Abraham had to separate from Lot. God may be taking you here, but he might be taking that family member there. The demons just don't like the Jesus inside of you, so you can hang with them and just laugh when you're sitting around the table inside. You can just laugh. As they make little subtle remarks, or you can just speak the word. Either way, you have authority. Either way, you have Jesus. The scripture says a gentle answer turns away their wrath. So you don't have to sit there and argue and fight with them. If you agree, agree to disagree. If you disagree, agree to disagree. Either way, Christ, the anointed one, living on the inside of you, you never have to feel out of place when you're around them because Jesus is always with you. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 10:33. He says, everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. Check that out. Your enemies will be in your own household. That means that if there are some people who aren't following God, following Jesus, and there are others that are, there's going to be a conflict. Some people will have to choose their love of Jesus over their love for their family. Family members may not see what's so special about Jesus, and they will try and keep you from having a personal relationship with them. See, the thing is that Jesus is more far important in our lives than any other family member that you may have. They may not understand now, but hopefully through God's love they will. So they may cut you out of their lives for a moment, or here's the thing, you may have to cut them out of your life. Either way, Joe is the way. Joe. Yeah, you know Joe. Jesus over everyone. See, I love my family, my nunnery family. My nunnery family, I said, they love the fact that, for the most part, they respect the call of my life and that God has called me to preach the good news in every which way. And that's always a blessing. That is always a blessing. I've never had any pushback in any way, shape, or form when it came to my family. That's a blessing. But are there haters out there? Yes. If they hated Jesus, they hated me. I'm not crying over spilled milk. So which one do I choose? Jesus or my haters? Jesus. All day, every day. What Jesus says about me or what haters says about me? That's a tough one. Nah, not really. I'm going with Jesus all day, every day, and so should you. You should go with Jesus every single day. I'm going with the Word. I'm going with what the Word of God says. Yeah, I know you said this. I know they said this. I know the news media, they said that. But I'm going with His Word every single day of my life. And if you don't like it, tough, you're going to have to kick rocks. Because Jesus did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I will not choose anyone or anything else over Jesus. That's the bottom line because Jesus said so. So you have your friends. You have your foes. Guess what? And you also have your frenemies. You have friends that are there through the good times and the garbage times of your life. They stick closer to you than a brother. You have your foes. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But unfortunately, you will have those that will oppose you and ultimately try to destroy you. And now you have the frenemy. Frenemy? Yeah, a friend and an enemy. It's basically a person who pretends to be your friend, but it's really an enemy. We all have those. We all have someone like this in our lives. They're a frenemy. You know, there's a DC character on comics with Batman. But one of his names was Two-Face. But, you know, just to be nice, we'll call him a frenemy. We don't want to call people Two-Face. But we all know someone like this. They are nice around you, but secretly they despise you. They despise you. See, if you look at the life of David and Jonathan, people thought Jonathan was a really, really good friend. But really, if you look closely, Jonathan was basically a frenemy of David. He was playing both sides of his relationship with his father Saul and David. See, even in chapter 17, David had killed this Goliath of a man, this giant of a man named Goliath. And Israel just whooped up on the Philistines. Now David had cut off Goliath's head and he's sitting there holding it, and it was in his hand, and Abner, the commander of the army, brought David to talk with Saul, and Saul asked about what David's father's name was, and he said, as he's holding his head, and David told Jesse, and you know, our sin is Bethlehem. We're repping Bethlehem. See, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1 through 12, it says this. After David had finished talking with Saul, just again, holding that head while he's talking to him, craziness, he met Jonathan, the king's son. There was an immediate bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, his sword, bow, and belt. Whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So Saul made him a commander over the men of war, an appointment that was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers alike. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. This was their song. Saul has killed the thousands, David his 10,000s. This made Saul very angry. What's this? He said. They credit David with 10,000 and me with only thousands. See, what was Saul's heart? It was about competition. He was comparing himself. Next, they'll be making him their king. Well, pretty much. But God made him king because David was a man after God's own heart. It says, so from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. David was playing the harp as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand, and he suddenly hurled it at David, intended to pin him to the wall. But David escaped him twice. Saul was then afraid of David, for the Lord was with David and had turned away from Saul. It says, now Saul urged his servants and his son David to assassinate David, and his son Jonathan to assassinate David. But Jonathan was trying to smooth things out between the two of them. So Jonathan, in chapter 19, he convinces Saul to kill David. So in chapter 19, Saul wants to kill David. Saul says, as surely as the Lord dies, as surely as the Lord lives, David will not be killed. Jonathan was saying, wait a minute, Saul was trying to kill me. But Jonathan was telling David, my dad's not trying to kill you. He says, for those that love to look for loopholes, in hindsight, we know that Saul did not kill David, but it doesn't mean he didn't try again, because in verse 9 and 10, it says here, but one day when Saul was sitting at home with spear in his hand again, they weren't playing, you know, the limbo, the tormenting spirit from the Lord suddenly came upon him again. As David played his harp, Saul hurled his spear at David. But David dodged out of the way, and leaving the spear stuck in the wall, he fled and escaped into the night. So this is three times. Then Saul sent troops to watch David's home and were told to kill David when he came out the next morning. David's wife ended up saving his life. In Saul 20, David is talking to Jonathan. David now fled from Naoth in Ramah. and found Jonathan. What have I done? He exclaimed. What is my crime? How have I offended your father that he is so determined to kill me? That's not true. Wait a minute. Jonathan protested. You're not going to die. Well, here's the thing. David didn't ask, well, is he going to die? He said, why is your father killing me? Jonathan just changed it up. You're not going to die. He always tells me everything he's going to do. Well, here's the thing, Jonathan. Your dad already tried to kill me 3 times. So you can't tell me that he's not trying to. And even the little things. I know my father wouldn't hide something like this from me. It just isn't so. Well, here's the thing. It was true because Saul had tried to kill David 3 times. And a few times when David went to hide out, only Jonathan knew about it. And Saul ended up fighting David. It's like I'm saying, I'm going to go hide in Ellis County, and then all of a sudden somebody ends up finding me, and I only told one person. Well, clearly that one person ratted him out. See, Jonathan was a friend to David, but he also was an heir to the throne. If Saul kills David without David knowing it was Jonathan that put him up to it, great. Jonathan prospers. He's the next king. But if David kills Saul, then Jonathan was planning on being David's right-hand man. In 1 Samuel 23:17, Jonathan encouraged David to stay strong in his faith in God and told David, don't be afraid. My father will never find you. You are going to be the king of Israel. I will be next to you. Look at that. I will be next to you, as my father Saul is well aware. See, the thing is, when a new administration comes in, everyone else is killed so that there won't be any rising up. And here's Jonathan telling him, I'm going to be next to you. See, win or lose, it was going to be a good day for Jonathan. So he thought. But we know from Scripture that David did not kill Saul or Jonathan, but they fought in that battle and died. Jonathan was killed by the Philistines along with his 2 brothers. The Philistine archers caught up with Saul and wounded him severely and commanded that his armor bearer, and Saul ended up commanding his armor bearer to kill him, but the armor bearer would not. He wouldn't do it. So Saul ended up falling on his own sword and died. See, the thing is, you don't have to stoop to the level of what your frenemies may do to you and keep yourself in the love of God. You get to keep yourself in the love of God. Your enemies will turn on themselves because they'll see that God is truly with you. You never have to stoop to that level. So you have your friends, you have your foes, and you have your frenemies. And I pray this in this season, that God will show you who your friends are, who your foes are, and who your frenemies in your life are. Who is for you and who is against you? And you don't have to get all hostile with them. Keep yourself in the love of God. Now here's the thing. If they say something sideways at you, and just smile, because understand, they cannot steal your joy. And I've learned this. Now, I'm not always perfect in it, but I've learned this. We never allow 15 seconds of ignorance to destroy the rest of your day, your week, your month, your year, or even your life. So drop it and let it go. Learn how to forgive quickly. And I pray that God sends true people into your lives that you can connect with and grow together, helping each other to fulfill the call in your lives. We bind that spirit of jealousy and envy from your life right now, from your loved ones and the friends that will turn their hearts back to the one who can truly save them, Jesus. Jesus over everything. Joe it up, man. Joe it up. Jesus over everyone else. And as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. A true friend will sharpen you for the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you for good friends and the bad ones. There is a purpose to all that goes on in our lives. And we thank you for clarity to see the difference in them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. If you want to give, you can get on our church app, Tithely app, and you can give that way. We appreciate all your donations and give according to what the Lord asks you to give. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Remember, take a friend out, invite them out to lunch, and continue to share your faith with people. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.